Welcome. I'm Javon of the Keg Podcast. You're listening to the first episode where the exploits of our membership can be immortalized in audio format. The Keg Tavern, where stories of great deeds are told. To start off with, we're going to be hearing from our own co-host.
Special report to the Klingon High Council. An emissary from the High Council sent me word that a rumor had reached their attention of a secret Federation base being established near the base of operation of the IKV Invictus. One does not interfere with the operations of a Klingon vessel. One also does not ignore a missive from the High Council. So I boarded a fast courier shuttle and immediately headed down to Fort Lauderdale in the United States of Florida. There, I combined with the worthy crew of the Invictus to check out these rumors. Intelligence scans pointed to Federation bases established in the area of the Supercon happening in the vicinity. We began a typically stealthy Klingon mission there. After securing passage into the facility housing this Supercon, we began our search for the Federation base. Imagine our surprise when we discovered not one, but two Federation stations present at this Supercon. We sent a small scouting party ahead to verify the layout of the first facility, a captain's training center, complete with artifacts from both the Empire and Federation. None of the weapons were functional, including a pair of Klingon disruptors they were displaying. We simply ignored these items. They had no bearing on our mission. We focused instead on the training simulator they had built and were using. A raiding party quickly overwhelmed the Federation personnel guarding this facility. We seized it in the name of the Klingon Assault Group and the Klingon Empire, then quickly put the facility out of commission. This convention center was a vast cavernous space, large enough to house a Constitution-class vessel. We located the bridge. We entered the craft through a non-functional view screen they had. Once we boarded, we completely overpowered the Federation crew, with no casualties on either side. Imagine that. And took control of the craft for the Empire. We forced the remaining crew people to pilot this ship for the Empire. Lieutenant Commander Shizui, Captain of the Invictus, took the captain's seat while I enforced her will on the captured crew. After warning its captain never to breach Klingon space again, the ship was returned to Federation space while we transferred over to the Invictus for the voyage home. Then came the most despicable Federation action of the day. James T. Kirk himself was addressing the assembled humans. We made our way into the auditorium where he was speaking to collect notes on whatever Federation plans there were for this region of space. He spent his time talking about a holodeck program he was working on. Hence, no Federation secrets slipped from his lips, and we have none to report. I'd like to report that Lieutenant Commander Shizui Vestai Lunga and her XO Cadet Lieutenant Ek Ma served brilliantly on this mission, helping to bring it to a successful conclusion. Glory to the Empire! Kapla! End of report to the High Council.
Krikor's Log. The crew of the IKV Crimson Dawn has been attempting to rendezvous with Denaze of the House Degor, Claire McConnell, for several months now, since learning she can be often found in the vicinity of Second City. Their last attempt on stardate 2017-10.26 was aborted, leaving Lieutenant Zatanna of the IK Azent Burr to face Dienz alone. Plans were made to reschedule the rendezvous for earlier in the new year. Unfortunately, it was then determined that, on an agreed-upon date, The Anns would not be at her post at the Second City, but would instead be on assignment in the Northern Storm Fleet territory. Tothorkol and Majakulov decided to invade Second City anyways, to locate a temporary guardian for that outpost until the Anns could return. They made their way down to the Polaris sector in a warp shuttle piloted by an ally and temporary Klingon, Rosanna. I met them when they had entered Mempa sector and escorted them the rest of the way. Along the way, we happened to run into my friend and host of Television's Inner Space, Teddy Wilson. We eventually got to the vicinity of the Second City, where we met Zatanna and Ketlark at the nearby Kwe restaurant to acquire substance. After dining on mostly dead gawk and a bit of celebratory dancing, the six of us entered the Second City. It turns out the associates of Dinaz are purveyors of sketch comedy and improv. We are treated to a very entertaining show with a focus on Canadian culture and on the upcoming Valentine's holiday. One sketch featured two performers speaking at the same time as if they were one person, so that neither of them knew how a sentence was going to end until they got there. They were playing the part of a relationship expert. As part of the sketch, our group of Klingons was asked what activity might provide friction between us. Tolarko replied, "Filling out reports. Klingons hate paperwork." The response for how to resolve it was take a gourd, jam your hand into it, and write the report while gnawing away on the gourd. Taharko later decided to recreate that advice for a photo shoot, courtesy of photographer Mark. After the show, we had a chance to meet the cast. Although all of them took well to genetic reassignment, it was determined that Kristen was the most Klingon, and therefore was dubbed the Guardian of the Second City until the return of Dinaz. The plan had been to hand over certifications to that effect, but they were unfortunately left behind in the rush to get downtown, so I dropped them off later to be given to them. The following morning, Morel and I hosted the Polaris contingent for breakfast before sending them on their way.
This is the Games Chancellor Chishwick of the House Lunkeej, and I have a few announcements to make. There is excitement happening in the Klingon Assault Group these days, and I want to make sure you know what is going on. No one should miss out on these online opportunities to take part with fellow warriors. First of all, a schedule of games and activities. We start with Sunday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is Trek Watch. We watch the same episode and comment on it, generally MST3K style. Remember Mystery Science Theater 3000? We are responsible for our own episodes, and there is a countdown to hit start at the same time. Then on Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is Klingon RPG. Join the crew of the IKV Yinpah in this Klingon role-playing game on Discord. See what adventures await. Later that night, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is Star Trek Online Fleet Night, where members of the online fleet get together and destroy the enemies of the Empire in glorious battles seen throughout the galaxy. Note that all of these activities take place on Discord, the CAG server. Please come join us today. Want more information on these games? And to check out the games page on www.kag.org and join the group, the Gaming Guild, to stay up to date on current developments. There is a new group there now, the Klinza Warriors. This group is for those who want to learn, teach, and play the game of Klinza. This is also a perfect place to show off your boards and pieces and even get advice on how to make them. One last thing I want to call your attention to, the House Directory. This is located on CAG.org. This is a great way to further your Klingon persona. Be proud. Be boastful, as Klingons are. Add your house today. Share your history. Share your pride. That is all for now. May you bring glory to your house. Kapla.
Next, we'll be going back to 1995 as I read a report from Paul Caureau during his time in Halifax. While I was on the IKV praxis, I learned a new meaning of the word event, an event in clan cultures wearing a costume in public. My first event was a frantic phone call from Henry on the early afternoon of Monday, September 18th, 1995, asking if I could help at the Canadian Red Cross in Halifax. The praxis was supposed to help out at the blood donor clinic, passing out cookies and juice for those who gave blood. And he did not have anyone who could or would help out. Could I get my costume and get to the Red Cross as soon as possible? This event was going to give the praxis some much-needed exposure in the Halifax community. I had the costume. I had not, however, put it on. I had a foam latex forehead, technically known as a pliant. I managed to get my hands on a wig, and I even had a tube of dark makeup. I had not used any of it together. I arrived at the Red Cross, latex and foam costume over my arm, and a plastic shopping bag full of my other goodies. Henry met me at the door. His costume had changed since I'd last seen him. He was now using my tailor. I was impressed because we were starting to look uniform. I also had a walking template of what I was supposed to look like. I was ushered into the men's washroom, where I was to transform myself into a Klingon warrior. I had major decisions to make. Should I put on the costume first, or put on the makeup and then the costume? I decided to start with the tube of color. In the men's washroom, the only tissue was on the roll. For the first time in my life, I was using this stuff as it was advertised, on my face. I applied the grease paint to my face using tissue paper as an applicator. The dark grease paint started to streak. I was looking at myself in the mirror, the thought screaming at me, "This can't be right." I remember looking at my watch, further stressing myself out because I was taking far too much time with my transformation. I was used to preparing for parades where the attention to detail of the uniform was minute. I had no clue what was right or wrong. I was also acutely aware of the time. I could hear my digital clock ticking. I started to sweat. By this time, the sink was fouled with a dark brown grease paint. I was frantically looking around for something, anything to clean the grease paint off the white porcelain sink, and the only available aid was the roll of paper towel. A lesson learned that night: you cannot clean a sink with paper towel. Now came the wig and the latex forehead. I lucked out there because the wig acted as an anchor holding the mass of molded rubber in place. Sort of. I made my entrance. Henry was not impressed I was wearing my command cloak. Henry made it very clear I was not a ship's captain. I did not command anything, and I was not entitled to wear such a badge of authority, so I had to lose the cloak. Henry also wanted me to talk like a Klingon. I don't speak Klingon, and I have a hard enough time with the French language. Henry told me that I didn't actually have to speak Klingon, just sound like a Klingon. Okay, Henry, how does a Klingon sound? Like the Klingons on television. I did my best attempt at sounding like a television Klingon, ended up sounding more like Peter Jurasz's character of Lando Malar from Babylon 5, complete with a Newfie accent. A reporter from the Halifax Herald arrived. I then realized it was our exposure was just going to be in the local paper. The photographer grabbed a lady who had just donated blood and asked if she would pose for a picture for the paper to showcase the blood donor clinic. He sits the lady in one of the chairs that used for blood donations, and one of the nurses came by and thanked her for giving blood and posed it for the picture. The photographer then blocked the shot he wants to take. Henry and I take our places on either side of the chair. I told her I was a Klingon with my best Londo impersonation. The three of us laughed and the photo was taken. Eventually it was time to take the costume off. When I removed the body armor, I felt the chill of the air. I was soaked with sweat. The black turtleneck I was wearing was dripping with sweat. My head was soaked, and the foam forehead appliance was soaked with sweat. The wig and the forehead went into the bag with the tube of grease paint. I think there was more of the stuff on the tube than actually in the tube. The industrial strength toilet paper was not going to clean out the sink. No amount of trying would change that. Someone left a small white towel. That should work. I started to wipe down the sink and was pleased with my results. The sink was returning to its original porcelain white again. I didn't want to leave the Canadian Red Cross with a bad impression of the members of the IKV Praxis. That was until I tried to rinse the towel. What I held looked like the wet Klingon battle flag. When I left the washroom, trying not to look guilty for ruining their towel, I was again greeted by the nurses who worked in the clinic. They went out of their way to thank us for helping out with the coffee, juice, and cookies. I smiled and accepted their praises. My face was still streaked with grease paint and hoping it would hide the shame I was feeling. Thank you for listening. Currently, we are looking for members to suggest their AERs to be read on the episodes. And we also love to see event announcements. We'll be more than willing to help people with their recordings. October, we are going to be doing a theme, and that theme is Origins. Feel free to send in to podcasts@keg.org the story of how you joined KEG to share with your fellow Klingons. But if you have other deeds to tell, don't let that stop you. Feel free to record them, send them in to our email, podcasts@keg.org. Make sure you put Tavern in the subject line so I know it's for this podcast, and you will hear yourself in the future in an episode. Thanks for listening. Hope to hear from you soon.